ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिश्रणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः शान्तिः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ When we take up this fourth chapter of the Mandukya Upanishad, when we are doing it, we should remember the fact that this chapter is meant for mananam. So, manana pradhanam prakaranam. I told you in the very beginning, even after having understood the very first chapter, Turiyam Chaitanyam, the consciousness which is free and distinct from the knower obtaining in the waking, the dream and deep sleep state, and distinct from the experienced waking dream universe is actually Atma Brahma, which is the only reality. When you say only reality, we say definitely secondless, non-dual, secondless, ekam, advayam, advitiyam, Brahma. There is no second thing other than Brahma. There is no second parallel reality also. When you say Advitiyam, there is no second parallel reality. Advayam means there is no parallel reality. Advitiyam, it's a secondless. There is no second thing other than the reality. And there is no nothing else other than Brahman is here. This we understood in the very first chapter. The second chapter, if the question arises, how to account for the Jagat then? Then we understood, we also said, there is no Jagat which exists independently outside of Brahman. The Jagat is only Mithya. When you say Mithya means which is not real, which is not absolutely real, which is not absolutely unreal, nor is it absolutely real, which is empirically relatively real, which means which doesn't have independent existence of its own. Therefore, the Jagat is only appearance of the Brahman. That also we understood very clearly. We resolved the Jagat as Mithya and as the appearance of the only reality. In fact, Jagat and Brahman are two different words for the only substance. Just as wave and water, or water and ocean, are two different substantives of the only substance. Similarly, here Brahman and Jagat are two different substantives for the only substance, Brahman, the reality, the consciousness. This also we understood in the very second chapter. Then, now in the fourth chapter, we are refuting, we are seeing how the other systems of philosophy for whom this Jagat is real and for whom, therefore, duality is real, reality. So, therefore, here it's very important for us to see the limitations, to see the defects or fallacies in their views. So we do not do it by ourselves, and we understand how Gaudapada Acharya is doing in this fourth chapter called Alata Shanti Prakaranam. And as I said, instead of negating all the Astika philosophers, he just refutes only Sankhya philosopher. refuting Sankhya philosopher itself is as good as refuting all the Astika philosophers, those who accept Veda as the Pramanam. So, we can say mainly, Asatkaryavadaha of Nyaya philosopher, Satkaryavadaha of Sankhya philosopher become refuted there. Then we also saw the Karma Karyavadis, people who hold on to the theory of karma to establish their view of the creation being real, and how he refuted them also. Later on, he refutes the Nastika Darshanani, Nastika philosopher's view. And to refute the Nastika's view also, view of the creation, he refutes only, mainly, he refutes the Yogacara Bauddha. And here he just leaves aside the Charvakaha, he leaves aside even the Jainaha, he takes only the Bauddha Matam for discussion. And we saw in the last class, the Bauddha Matam, which comes under the Nastika Darshanam, itself have four different systems. four different systems of philosophy come under one matam called Bauddha Matam. Therefore, of the four branches we saw, the Sautrantika Bauddha Matam, then Vaibhashika Bauddhamatam, Yogachara Bauddhamatam, then last we saw Madhyamika Bauddhamatam. These are the four branches of Buddhism. And the first two branches of Buddhism, called this Sautrantika Bauddhamatam and Vaibhashika Bauddhamatam, come under one wing of Buddhism called Hinayana Bauddhamatam. And Yogacara Bauddhamatam and Madhyamika Bauddhamatam, these two branches come under one wing of called Mahayana Bauddhamatam. And all of them have different, you know, we can call them by their views. The Sautrantika Bauddha Mata followers are called Bahyartha Pratyakshavadinaha. In singular, Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi. And Bahyam means external, and Arthaha means here the external objective universe. Bahyartha means external world. And Pratyakshavadi means here, the one who holds on to the view of the universe being real, based on its availability for experience externally. And the other person is called the other branch of Buddhism coming in the same wing, Vaibhashika Bauddha, and the followers of Vaibhashika Bauddha Matam are called Bahyartha Anumana Vadinaha, Pratyaksha Anumana. That's a slight difference, but both of them accept the external world as something real. There is this universe which is real. Universe is real. So, very nice for us to understand, isn't it? We are also experiencing the world. When somebody says universe is very much real, your pain is real, your pleasure is real, all the problems you go through in life are very real. Yeah, and we feel like joining hands. No way. Very nice. Because we also feel the same. It's very much real for us. based on our experience, based on what we are going through, because of the grossness of our minds also, we also tend to accept what they say. Yes, there is an external world, which is, I am different from the external world, the world is different from me, and the world is as real as me, the world is very much real for me. It has independent existence of its own. And then, the external world, how can we say external world is not there? How can you say that? Because the existence of the external world is the proved by what? My experiences, my cognitions I have in my mind. If there is no external object, then there cannot be experience of that object in my mind. The cognition of the television, there is television, there is a cognition in my mind. That cognition, that experience, what I have in my mind, in the form of a thought, is the proof for this object existing outside. Therefore, the multifariousness, the plurality, the variety of experiences, cognitions, which obtain my mind in the form of thoughts are the proof, isn't it, for the world being there outside. Understand, the world is real. So what is the proof for him? That the world is real, the external world is real, because available for perception. Therefore, experiences in the mind are possible. Therefore, experience or cognition in the mind is the proof for the external world being real. Very basic. And the other person adds one more thing. Not only simply we perceive the world, when we perceive this external world of objects, and there are cognitions and experiences based on the perception of the objects outside, and also the emotions we go through, such as pain, pleasure, perception of some objects outside, result in what? Sometimes experience of pain, experience of pleasure, experience of anger, experience of hatred also. Even we also have such emotions, Therefore, and we understand, there is no corresponding object for the emotion called anger outside. There is no external object. But still, the perception of the external object gives rise to not only the experience of the object, the experience, the caused emotion. Isn't it? Such as anger, hatred, they're also there. Therefore, external world is real. Experience of the objects, experience of the plurality of the objects, therefore, the varieties and the plurality of the cognitions in the mind, and also the experience of other emotions which are experienced as a result of the experience of the external objects is a proof for the external world being real. Who says this? Vaibhashika Bauddha. I tell you, the whole world will join them. My experiences, my cognitions, the knowledge I have about objects is the proof for the world of objects, corresponding objects being outside in reality. So the first two systems, are negated by the third system of Buddhism called Yogacara Bauddha. And these Yogacara Bauddhas are called Bahyartha Abhavavadinaha. I'm sure you all know this word abhavaha. Abhavaha means absence, non-existence, isn't it? Absence. There is no world in reality externally other than separate from the experiencer, knower. So Yogacara Bauddha also is of the same view like an Advaiti. What does he say? The Jagat is Mithya. If you say Jagat is Satyam, it has its own independent existence. It becomes a parallel reality. Understand? Another reality. It has independent existence of its own. If you say Jagat is Satyam, real, it does not depend upon the experiencer. If you say Jagat is Mithya, it is not negated as totally non-existent, nor is it accepted as something absolutely real. Mithya is as good as non-existent, which does not have its own independent existence, therefore which cannot be counted as a second parallel reality. So, in the view of an Advaiti, Jagat is Mithya. Why? Because it has no independent existence outside of the experiencer, the knower. It is non-separate from the knower. So that's why we say Yogacara Bauddha is very close to Advaiti. Why do we say they both accept the mithyatvam of the Jagat? Okay. We'll see where they differ later on. So now, last class itself, I told you all these things. It is not something new what I have said today. But we have to do the karikas. Look at 24th karika. 24th onwards. 24th onwards. 24th to 28th. In these karikas, Gaudapada Acharya refutes the Bauddha Matam. But how he refutes, we'll see here. The 24th karika presents the objection of the Sautrantika Bauddha and Vaibhashika Bauddha. They say the world is real. How can you say the world is Mithya? How can you say the world is as good as non-existent? How can you say the world is non-separate from the experiencer? There is a world which is very much real. And how do they say here? Look at this. The first line presents the view of the Sautrantika Bauddha, who is called Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi. The second line presents the Vaibhashika Bauddha's view, who's called Bahyartha Anumanavadi. Pragnapte Sanimittatvam. Anyathadvayanashatah. Sankleshasya.
Sankleshasya.
Upalabdhescha.
Upalabdhescha.
Paratantrastitamata.
Paratantrastitamata.
Pragnapte sanimittatvam. tattvam
prajñate sani nityatvam
anyatha dvayanashatah
anyatha dvayanashatah
sankleshasyopalabdhescha
sankleshasyopalabdhescha
paratantrastitamata
paratantrastitamata.
Okay, it is prajnaptihi means internal cognition or internal experience. In fact, prajnaptihi is a feminine gender form of prajnanam. Prajnaptihi, prajnanam mean the same. Prajnanam means, prajnanam. Actually, the word prajnanam is used to mean consciousness also. When you say prajnanam brahma, what does it mean? Pure consciousness. Prajnanam means consciousness. And when you say prajnaptihi, what is prajnaptihi? Same feminine form of prajnanam is prajnaptihi. Same. But here, the word prajnaptihi does not mean pure consciousness. Does not mean pure knowledge. Here, prajnaptihi means vritti jnanam, experience, cognition, knowledge, which rises in the form of a thought. He says, prajnaptehe sa nimittatvam asti, which means each cognition, every cognition, every experience rises in the mind must have, definitely has a corresponding object of cognition outside. Okay, nimittam here he means an external object, which is instrumental for the rising of the cognition. There is an object called a door. Therefore, there is a door. That cognition is what? No. The cognition, the nimitta means the object. The object is instrumental for the rising of the corresponding cognition of the corresponding object. We hear prajnaptehe sanimittatvam. Therefore, otherwise you cannot account for your cognitions and experiences you have. How can you have experiences in your mind? What is an experience? What is a cognition? What is knowledge? There is light, there is sun, there is a bright light, bright sun, there are trees around which are green. No, your eyes keep on perceiving objects. Not only eyes, the ears perceive, the nose perceives. What smell is here? What fragrance is here? Something smells nice here. You say, so our senses, through the senses, the perception takes place. Perception of the objects take place. The perception results in what? Rising of cognitions, rising of experiences. So experience is always what? Thought. There's a physical. Experience is what? Subtle. Experience is always in the form of a thought. Cognition is in the form of a thought. Knowledge of anything is in the form of a thought. Isn't it? So, those so many experiences we have, experiences, cognitions of objects we have, so we cannot account for those experiences. They are the proof why these cognitions rise, experiences we have here, because the perception of external corresponding objects. Therefore, external world of objects, the objects outside which constitute the jagat are very much real, because the proof is what? My experience. My cognitions are the proof. Is it clear? Is nimittatvam. Anyatha dvayanashataha. Otherwise, dvayanashataha here implies what here? Otherwise, it wouldn't have been possible for us to have varieties of cognitions and experiences if there are not corresponding external objects. Therefore, what does he want to say? Every object experienced outside is real. And all the objects which constitute the universe, external world, is real. Real means what? It's a parallel reality. Therefore, it has independent existence. In fact, he says, there are objects, therefore I experience the objects. But what we are going to say later on, we are seeing, therefore I see, therefore the world is. What does he say? The world is, therefore I see the world. Got the difference?
Yeah.
Big difference between us and him. Does the world exist because you see? Okay? Or you see because the world exists? Isn't it? Anyatha dvayanashataha means otherwise we wouldn't have had this many plurality of cognitions. This is the view of Sautrantika Bauddha, and he is called Bahyartha Pratyakshavadi. What is the proof for the universe, external world being real? Experience is the proof for him. Okay, next, Purupaksha. Sankleshasyopalabdhescha. Paratantrastitamata. See, not only the experience, cognitions of the external objects, there are also subtle objects of experience. Not only the objects which we experience through senses, the gross universe, gross objects which we experience through five senses in the form of form, color, taste, touch, etc., there are also experiences of imperceptible, the objects which are not perceptible through senses, which are available for thought perception. There are also objects of experience. What are those objects of experience? Sankleshasya upaladdihi. Sankleshaha means worry, sorrow, sadness, grief, emotional pain, different degrees of pain. Then you can add other emotions also. Jealousy, hatred, anger, fear. All those things also experience, objects of experience. Desire, passion, aversion. There are also objects of experience, aren't they, or experiences? And are they experienced outside the senses? No. There are also objects of experience. And how do we know? They also become what now? Contribute for us to infer that there is an external world which is real. There is a snake, perception of which results in what? The snake cognition then arises what? Fear. So there is an experience of fear. The experience of fear wouldn't have been there if there is something frightening is perceived outside and experienced externally. Therefore, so the fear, I infer what now? Even such things, no? The emotions which are experienced subtly, no? Which are experienced not through senses, but still which are also experienced in the mind, they also contribute for us to infer what now? Definitely, there is external world of objects, which is very much real. Therefore, he is called what? Bahyartha Anumanavadi. He is called this Vaibhashika Buddha. Anyway. Paratantrasthitamata. I am not doing the word by word because I didn't want to confuse you with the language. Okay? These are the... So, we can say, Hinayana Buddha's views are presented in the 24th Karika as an objection. As objection means what? No, we will not accept that world is mithya, world is not there, world is very much real, it has independent existence. Understand? And the experience and the cognitions we have in our mind and all the emotions we experience in our mind, all of them contribute for what now? The proof for the world being real. Therefore, they are also dvaitis. I will go to the next one. Prajnyate sanimittatvam.
Prajnyate sanimittatvam.
Ishyate.
Ishyate.
Yuktidarshanat.
Yuktidarshanat.
Nimittasya.
Nimittasya.
Animittatvam.
Animittatvam.
Ishyate.
Ishyate.
Bhutadarshanat.
Bhutadarshanat.
So, in this 25th Karika, Gaudapada Acharya refutes the Hinayana Buddha's views in the form of Sautrantika's view and Vaibhashika's view, not directly. Which means, how does he refute? By joining the Yogacara Buddha, who refutes the Hinayana Buddha's views. So here, the Yogacara Buddha, who is otherwise called Bahyartha Abhavavadi. If you say there is a world outside, there is a world, you mean what? World is real. If you said there is no world, means the world is mithya. When you say there is no world, what do you mean by that? There is only Brahma. What should be the answer? If you say there is no world, your answer must be, what is there if the world is not there? You mean there is only Brahma. If you say, when you say there is no ocean, you must be able to say what? There is only water. Now, there is no water, there is no ocean also, if you say there is a problem, isn't it? If you say ocean is, when can you say ocean is? When you do not see the water. You will say there is ocean. When you see the water, you will say there is no ocean, there is only water. And here, this Yogacara Buddha, for whom he also says what? There is no jagat, which is separate from the experiencer. There is no jagat separate from the experiencer. That sentence, there is no universe, there is no world separate from the experiencer, that expression implies there is no real world other than experiencer consciousness. There is only Brahma, that is the meaning. There is only consciousness, that is the meaning. So he also says, what? There is no external world separate from, there is no external world, there is no world. Means the world is not real. But what is it which appears to be world? Jagat, mithya, appearance. What is ocean? Is only appearance of the water. So what is Jagat? Appearance of the truth, the reality, the consciousness. There is no world. When you say the world is mithya, it is not non-existent like a rabbit's horn. Understand? Like a mirage water. No. It is not tucham. The world is not tucham. It is not totally, absolutely non-existent. But it is mithya. Mithya means what to see as world is nothing but Brahma. So that view, he doesn't say the word Brahman, but he says what? There is no world. Bahyartha abhava. There is no world means there is no world outside of consciousness. Bahyartha abhava vadi. For him also there is no world which is real. The world outside is only mithya. So he, this Yogacara Buddha, refutes the first two systems. In the Hinayana Buddhas are refuted. So what he says in this, look at the first sentence. So Yogacara Buddha's refutation of Hinayana Buddhas. Okay, in the 25th. When I say Hinayana Buddhas, remember Sautrantika and Vaibhashika. Prajnapte sanimittatvam.
Prajnapte sanimittatvam.
Ishyate yukti darshanat.
Ishyate yukti darshanat.
He says, yukti darshanam. Yukti darshanam means, logic itself is superficial. When a superficial logic, using that superficial logic, superficially using the logic, if you see that I have an experience in my mind, there is a cognition in the mind, therefore definitely there is a corresponding object outside. Therefore external object is real. Therefore, the objects which constitute the external world, isn't it? The external world also is real. You can say that yukti darshana means what? No, logically, using this logic superficially, you can say, yes, what? Prajnaptehe sanimittatvam asti. Definitely, the cognition or experience in the mind is not possible if there is no corresponding object outside. Definitely, the experience is the proof for what? The external object being, corresponding object being there. This is not denied. This is not denied relatively. This is acceptable relatively. There is light. No, we all experience light. Okay? Therefore, there is light outside. There is light outside. That's why we experience light. If there is darkness, we wouldn't have experienced, we would not have the experience of the light now. We are all sitting here. That is why experience of all of us is possible. If we are all not here, then she wouldn't have had the experience of having us here. The experience is the proof for the objects being outside, really there. that is true, acceptable, non-deniable, logically, when you see superficially, you know, using the logic, if we say it is not denied, it is accepted. But he says, take any object, every object, any object here, take it. Then explore the object. Closely probe into the object. Then you will understand there is no object. There is no object. This way, bhuta darshanat. Bhuta darshana means, you know, probing into the truth of an object. There is no object. Yukti darshanat means superficially when you say, yes, it is there. Like, oh, I experience the ocean, there is an ocean. I experience the wave, there are waves. Who can deny it? Correct. But closely explore, analyze, probe into the truth of what these waves are all about. Waves will dissolve. There is no such thing called a wave other than water, independently. So every object here, any object you take, then if you that's what bhuta darshana means. By arriving at the truth of every object, when you probe into that object, when you arrive at the truth of the object, you will see the object will resolve, the object will disappear, it's not there not there for you. Then, so he says, bhuta darshanat nimittasya animitattvam ishyate. Between nimittam here is an object. The externally experienced object will disappear. The objectness will it lose its objectness. That means what? The status of being the object. It's not there. Nimittasya animittatvam. The object will lose its status of being an object. Which means the object will collapse. The object will disappear. The object will not be there if you closely analyze, explore and probe into the truth of that object. Here, we are going to understand one thing. There is something called, let us say the example, gold. And there are so many ornaments made of gold. Chain, bangle, ring, bracelet, hip belt. We have so many. And you all count, they all count them. Chain, number one. Bangle, number two. Ring, number three. You count these three. Okay, just take this three. Are there three? Or are there many? Are there two at least? In fact, if we take this chain, if you see, there is no such, you have to see, you see two things. When you see the chain, you see two things there, gold and chain. And really speaking, gold and chain, you cannot say. Puja Swami says, chainy gold. He doesn't want a golden chain. Chainy gold. No way. Because this substance is only one substance. He's a potty clay. He wants a pot, you know, clay pot. Why? Because the gold is the substance. But there's no substance for the substantive's chain. There's no substance for the substantive bangle or ring. Take the gold away from chain, bangle and ring, will there be chain, golden ring? What does it mean? There is no substance called chain. There is no substance called bangle. There is no substance called ring also. They are non-substantial forms. There is no form. Gold is taken away means, will there be a form called chain? Will there be a form called bangle? Will there be a form called ring? When the forms are not there, where will the names lean on? Where can they lean on? The words cannot lean. So all those words are meaningless words. Understand? You remove the gold, all those words, remember, chain, bangle, ring. I'm going to give the example. Remove the water, waves, ripples, drops, all the words become meaningless words. Understand? It's called what now? Negation of the first you negate what? Padartha. Negation of Padartha means you see there's no substance being not available for those substantives. What substantives? Chain. After removing the substance called gold, you understand the substantive chain, bangle, ring, etc. have no substance. It's called what now? Negation of Padartha. There's no meaning for the word gold, the chain, bangle, ring, etc. It's called Padartha Nisheda. Okay? First you negate the Padarthas. Padartha means what? Meaning of the words are not there when you probe. Understand what I'm saying? Therefore, once you see, we negated the meaning of the words, and what meanings are not there means, then you have to negate the padanam negation. Then you negate the words also. Negation of padartha first, then negation of padani next. Then you ask, what are these words then? The words are, simply coming from just your mouth. Which means, what I want to say here, each word is a different name of the only substance. You can say, ring, bangle, chain are all different substantives of the different names of the only substance called gold. This is the basis for our Vishnu Sahasranama or any Sahasranama we have. Why? Because many names, innumerable names, what is this universe? Innumerable forms indicated by innumerable names, countless names. Therefore, all these different, that's why I say I always use the expression incomprehensibly vast, inexplicably vast. This world of objects, all of them are innumerable, countless, incomprehensible forms of the only substance called consciousness, the only reality. Therefore, all these words are what? Different names of the only Bhagavan. That's why we take only 1008 names or 108 names. We have no time to, we don't even know the names. We don't even know how, the objects. The too small mind to comprehend vast Bhagavan. No? That's why immeasurable we use the term. Anantanama. One of the names of the Lord is Anantanama. all the words are what? All the words are the names of the only substance. Why? Because any number of words you use, there's no substance for that word. Why? Because there is no object indicated by that word. There's no substance for any substantive. Is it clear? Therefore, all the words, Shabda Prapancha, all the words are all names of the words, different words, all of the only substance. Ekam Sat. Therefore, if we analyze, Bhuta Darshanam means on arriving at the truth through close exploration analysis, you will find out Animittasya Animittatvam. How just is taking a small example of gold and chain, you found out the chain is just a meaningless word. There is no substance after removing the gold. The word chain has no meaning. There is no such object called chain. Therefore, the word is also meaningless. Padartha is not there. Therefore, padam also is meaningless. There is no substance of the substantive. Therefore, non-substantial word, isn't it? You arrived at it now. Bhuta Darshanat. Similarly, if you take the whole jagat, can be resolved. Every object can be ultimately resolved in knower. No, every known object can be resolved in knower consciousness. The knower status also has to be resolved. Consciousness alone will be there. Therefore, there is no jagat other than Brahma. How clearly you can say there is no ocean other than water. So there is no jagat other than consciousness. There is no universe other than consciousness. Superficially, yes. Superficially, yes. But absolutely, there is no jagat. This is what the mind has to arrive at. Then only mind will remain calm. People want to quieten the mind. People think if we go to a place of silence, we can mind will never become silent. The noisy mind will always make noise. People think they want to go to silent places. With noisy mind, wherever it goes, it will go and disturb the silence of any silent place. That is why sometimes people go mad in silence if everything is silent. They want noisy music, jump, 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 jumping all way and away. It shows how disturbed you are. In a quiet, silent place, sometimes people cannot stay for long. People think we'll go to Dorset. I only say, Ashwagandha office will shift it to Dorset. Lake district. Lake is very noisy. The whole jagat goes there for holiday. Like our Thiruvannamalai. The crowd goes, it becomes a noisy place, isn't it? Dorset, Devon. We'll go there. take some nice big, you know, palatial house, sit all alone, teach through. Thoughts come sometimes, you know. And you all can come one day, once in a while, to see, stay there and relax. Really, it's good, it'll work. People think we'll go to a side, oh my God, silent place. So silent it is. It's all fancy idea. Shastram says the real silence is the very swarupam of yourself. You discover it when you see the mithyatvam of everything that is experienced. Everything that is experienced, anything experienced is mithya. There is anything experienced is mithya. Yadya drishyam tattad mithya. Drishyatvat. Because it is experienced, it is mithya. Any object, there is no such a thing called object. There is no object of consciousness. It has come to next step, let me take you to that. We say object of knowledge, object of cognition, isn't it? That is relative. There is no such a thing called object of consciousness. We are going to see that next sentence, next mantra, karika. In understanding this fact very clearly, empirically, relatively, superficially, see logically, there is an external world because I experience it. But really speaking, there is no object at all. There is no world. There is no jagat. There is only Brahma. That is what is said in this karika. Okay. He continues that. Who continues? Yogacara continues. Chittam na samsprushatyartham. Samsprushatyartham nārthābhāsam tathaivacha. Abhūtohi yatascārtho nārthābhāsas tataḥ prithak. Chittam na samsprishatyartham nārthābhāsam tathaivacha. Abhūto hi yatascārthah nārthābhāsastatah prithak. The fiber fabric example Shankar Bhagavatpada has given. Na pataha tantu vyatirekena. There is no fabric independent of the fiber. Remove the fiber, the fabric will resolve, disappear. The whole fabric is interwoven where? The fiber only. Therefore he is going to say here, there is no jagat, there is no object. There is no such thing called object at all. Now he says, Chittam. Chittam here means consciousness. Be careful. In Mandukya Karika, you have to remember the words very carefully. All the time, everywhere, in all of the texts, we understood the word chittam as mind, memory. Remember? Mm-hmm. From the beginning, kindergarten, all other Prakarna Granthas also, chittam, chittam means, we remember memory, chittam means mind. In Tamil, generally chittam means Tamil or mind. But here, the word chittam means consciousness. So, chittam artham na samsprashati. Complete sentence. Chittam, the consciousness, artham, the object, na samsprashati, does not touch, does not contact. Sprashati means touches, or contacting, tainting. Isn't it? Na samsprashati means what? Consciousness does not contact, does not objectify object, does not perceive, experience, objectify, touch, taint, contact any object here. Why? There is no object. Then consciousness becomes subject of touching, isn't it? And it must be object of touch. That which touches, that which is touched must be two. There must be two. It is like saying gold touches the ring, or gold touches the chain. Wood touches the furniture. Water touches the wave. Is it possible? For one thing to touch the other thing, there must be two. You can say relatively, you can say what? One wave goes and touches the other wave. Relative. Within the relative world, you can, objects, you can say. Absolutely, if you analyze, the water can never touch the wave, because wave is not an independent object different from the water, for the water to go and touch the wave. So also, there is no such thing called chain object, isn't it? Which is different from the gold, for the gold to be able to go and touch it. Because they are not two different parallel realities. Similarly here, consciousness cannot touch any object here. There is no object of consciousness. Okay. There is no object of consciousness. Why? Maybe two must be there. If any object which is experienced has independent existence. Now, independent of consciousness, it can exist. Then you can say what? Consciousness is the experiencer consciousness, different from the experienced object. It has no independent existence. The experienced has no independent existence. I'm repeating it. You have to understand what is mithya. Therefore, it is as good as the effect only. Therefore, it is doesn't have a status of being the parallel reality. Therefore, he says, chittam artham na samsprashati. There is no object of contact of consciousness. Then the doubt comes. Okay, The existent consciousness does not contact the existent object. Can we say consciousness contacts the consciousness, taints, touches something which is non-existent? A existent or non-existent, anything comes under the category of the object only, then there is no object at all. And how can I talk about the existent or the non-existent? There is no object at all. There is only consciousness. Can we say there is subject then? From the standpoint of the experienced, you give the status to of experience to the consciousness. There is no absolute experiencer also. There is no experienced also. There is only consciousness in the form of experiencer and the experienced. Is it clear? Therefore, consciousness does chittam na samsprashati. This is all very beautiful. I'm sure you are all seeing it. Consciousness does not touch anything, objectify anything. There's no object of consciousness. Subtle teaching. Lot of homework, okay? Lot of homework. You have to be with that teaching. This is called, if you see, try to understand what is being said here, you are in contemplation. You are in, this is what is mananam. Mananam means what? What you understood, you are reflecting on it, and while reflecting on it, because you see the, yes, other person's view, you see how it is fallacious, there, chittam na samsprushati. Okay, you go and come back, we'll scav again. Have break, tea break and come back.